Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word.
Welcome to the Gospel Call with Reverend Confix Makarira. The Gospel Call is a radio ministry of Christ Presbyterian Church. Our mission is to proclaim the gospel with the goal of calling unbelievers to faith in Christ and help believers to be rooted and grounded in God's word. Reverend Confix Makarira is a pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in Blanta. May the Lord bless you as you hear God's word this evening.
You are worshiping with us for the first time here at Christ Presbyterian Church. Feel very welcome. We are glad that you are here to worship the Lord with us. Currently, we are going through the book of Genesis as a church, and we now come to Genesis chapter number 12. So please turn with me there. Genesis chapter number 12, verses 1 to 9. The word of the Lord. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I'll curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I'll give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Oh, men are like grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you that you are a God who speaks to your people and you have spoken to us in your word. And this morning, Lord, we gather to hear you speak to us from your word. Lord, this word of yours needs the power of the Holy Spirit for us to understand it, to receive it, and to put it into practice in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, this word will kill us. But we pray that, Lord, may you open our hearts, may you open our ears, and may you open our eyes so that we can receive and hear and see what you have prepared for us in your word this morning. And Lord, speak, your servants hear. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Reverend John Sims, a Presbyterian minister in Iowa, USA, wrote a hymn in 1886 that has become one of the well-known and loved hymns in the church today. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. What he says we'll do, where he sends we'll go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no another way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I thought of this hymn when studying and preparing this sermon from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. It is as if Reverend Sims had the call of Abraham in his mind when he was composing the hymn. So with the help of the Lord, I'd like us to reflect on our passage under the title, Go From Your Country. Go From Your Country. And we're going to look at 3 points. First, unconditional call. Second, unconditional obedience. And third, unconditional trust. First, unconditional call. And we see that in verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, as we saw last Sunday when we were looking at Genesis 11, Abraham's call came when he and his family were worshipping idols in the Ur of Chaldeans, as we read in Joshua 24, verses 2 to 3. Abraham was not a righteous man, was not a holy man. He was a worshiper of idols. But God comes to him and calls him to say, I want you to go to Canaan. And we also saw that after the Lord called Abraham, they started off from the Ur of Chaldeans, but stopped somewhere. They didn't go all the way to Canaan. So it was partial obedience. They came to Haran and stayed there. Now, you'd have thought, as we saw last time, that God could have given up on Abraham. That's not what happens. Here in Genesis 12, we see the Lord coming for the second time to Abraham and calling him to say, I want you. Now he doesn't specify where he's going. I want you to go to the land that I will show you. And this time Abraham obeys the word of the Lord. Again, this is unconditional call. What did Abraham do to deserve this call? Nothing. Abraham was not a righteous man, as I've already said. Actually, when we read the history of the Bible, the earliest book to be written probably was Job, and Job might have been the time of Abraham. The Lord could have called Job the blameless man. So the priest Melchizedek, it was around this time, a holy man, a holy priest. The Lord could have called him, but he comes to a pagan, a worshiper of idols, and he says, I want you to be my child, Abraham. God's unconditional call. I want you to notice another thing about this unconditional call, that it calls Abraham to separate. You see there, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Separate yourself from this country, from your people. I want you to go to a certain place that I will show you. Separate. It comes with a call to separate. But also notice another thing about this unconditional call. It also comes with promises. And here you see 5 promises that God makes to Abraham. The first one, I'll make you a great nation. And then God says, I'll bless you. That's a general term there. Blessing, here, both spiritual and material blessing. As later on, Abraham will be one of the richest people in the Bible. Blessed both materially and spiritually. Now, this is not a promise to everyone. This is not a promise to every Christian. That as long as the Lord has saved me, I'll be blessed. I'll have riches and also spiritually blessed. It's not for everyone. This is specific for Abraham. Some Christians will be blessed with material worth, praise the Lord, but it's not for every Christian. Because you're going to find other men faithful to the Lord, but not very rich. So Abraham is promised blessings, both spiritual as well as physical. And then the next thing say, I'll make your name great. Sounds familiar? Just the previous chapter, there was a nation that was trying to make their name great. At Babel, we are going to make a name for ourselves. We'll be a great nation in the land. And we know how it ended. They failed. God came down and brought down the altar that they were building and says, you can't make a name for yourself. My name will be glorified. But here now, God comes to say, now, if you are to make your name great, I have to make it great. Not yourself. So he promises to Abraham, and say, I will make your name great. But also, I'll bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, who dishonor you, I'll curse them. Again here, in a sense, a protection for Abraham. Those who support you, those who work with you, Abraham, they'll receive a blessing. But everyone who frustrates your work, who dishonors you, who curses you, will not receive the blessing of the Lord. And then the last one, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. You know, Abraham, I would like to bless the nations of the earth. I would like to bless the families of the earth, but it will start with you. If I'm to bless the families of the earth, I will bless them through you. Now, when we look at all these promises, they are in one sense fulfilled in Abraham and his physical descendants, the Jews, or the nation of Israel. The Lord fulfilled these promises. But the ultimate fulfillment of these promises is found in Jesus Christ and the church. So as you look here at these promises, I'll make you a great nation. Israel became a great nation. The Lord fulfilled that. I'll bless you spiritually and physically. Abraham, one of the rich people in the Bible, but also a great man of faith. Spiritual blessings. I'll make your name great through the nation of Israel. The name of Abraham is great. But also, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. You just have to read Genesis to see that those who support God's people are blessed. Those who oppose God's people, God opposes them. And through the families of the earth will be blessed, again fulfilled as nations were coming to Israel to worship the true God. You have to read Psalm 67. Let the nations be glad. Through the nation of Israel, nations come to know Christ and rejoicing in the true God of Israel. The ultimate fulfillment of these promises is in Christ Jesus and the church. And I would like to encourage you to read Galatians chapter number 3, because there Apostle Paul explains how all these promises are fulfilled in Christ and the church. But let me encourage you, when you go home, read Galatians chapter number 3 and see how these promises have been fulfilled. But I just want to point to two verses in Galatians chapter number 3. Verse 14, this is what Paul says, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And we are Gentiles. We have received the Holy Spirit. Why? Because of Abraham. The promise that was made to him has been fulfilled to us Gentiles, not just Jews only, but Gentiles as well. And verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. And here the Bible is telling us the true descendants of Abraham are those who believe in Christ. It's not the physical Jews that are the true descendants of Abraham. It's you and me. Even though we have no any Jewish blood running in our veins, we are the true descendants of Abraham by faith. And these promises that we have made to Abraham are ours as a church in Christ Jesus. So the Lord fulfills these promises. Now just take a look. I'll make you a great nation. How is it fulfilled today in the church? 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen race, writing to believers, writing to the church, you and me, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Believers are a holy nation of God. Again, I'll bless you. How is it fulfilled? Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Christ has blessed believers with every spiritual blessing fulfilled in Christ. I'll make your name great. The name of Christ is great in the world. Fulfilled in Christ. And in Christ, the families of the earth are blessed. As families come to know Christ, God blesses them. It's fulfilled in Christ. Praise God for his faithfulness. Now, Abraham's call is very similar to a believer's call today. Just as Abraham's call was unconditional, a believer is called unconditionally. God calls us to salvation out of his will and pleasure, by grace alone. Why were you saved? Why was I saved? Anything I had done? No. Some knowledge that I kept in my head to help me? No. Purely out of God's pleasure and will. Just like Abraham was called out of God's will and pleasure. Just as Abraham's call was a call to separate, a believer is also called to separate from the world. When God calls us to himself, he calls us to separate from the world. Not to live according to the standards of the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Actually, to be holy means to be set apart. When the Bible says that believers are sanctified, it means they are set apart. When Peter writes to say you are a holy nation means a nation that has been set apart. That's what we've been called to separate from the world and to live unto the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just as Abraham's call came with promises, Christ fulfills all the promises of God in him, as we have already seen. God promises to keep us. He is going to keep us in Christ Jesus. God promises to sanctify us. He's going to sanctify us in Christ Jesus. Everything that God has promised is fulfilled in Christ. As Paul says, for all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God fulfills all the promises in his Son. And here in our passage, we can not only see unconditional call, secondly, we see unconditional obedience. Unconditional obedience, and we see that in verses 4 to 5a. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Abraham now proceeds to do God's will unconditionally. He no longer obeys halfway. Go to the land that you show me, okay, I'll go halfway and then stop somewhere. No. This time he makes it all the way. He does as the Lord has taught him. Now, you even appreciate this unconditional obedience when you notice in this verse that the Lord did not tell Abraham where he was going. You notice again in verse 1, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. He did not tell him where he was going. Just follow me. I'll show you where you're going. It was like stepping into the dark. John Calvin observes and says, it was as if the Lord had commanded Abraham to go forth with closed eyes. But Abraham had faith in God, believing that it was safer to walk in the dark with his hand in the hand of the Lord than to walk in the light depending on his wisdom and knowledge. Safer to walk in the dark with the Lord than in the light all by yourself. And notice, Abraham did not ask questions. He did not seek to understand first where God wanted him to go. He just left. Imagine telling him, Sarah, we are leaving. Lot, back, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. Which direction are we taking? I don't know. The Lord will show us. Can you imagine? Will you follow that person? But here he is. Actually, Hebrews will tell us, going without knowing. He was just going. The Lord has said it, we'll just follow. Why this faith? Why did Abraham trust the Lord this way? Hebrews 11 verse 10 tells us, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That's what Abraham was looking for. A city whose foundations were designed by God. This call of Abraham was not just physical, as it were. It was spiritual. Abraham understood that God was calling not just to a mere earthly city, but to an eternal dwelling with God. That's what he understood. That's what Hebrews is telling us. He was looking for a spiritual city He understood that God is calling me to something greater. He's not just calling me to go to Canaan. He's calling me to be his own. He's calling me to dwell with him forever and ever in Christ Jesus. He's calling me to an eternal city that he has built, the new Jerusalem. That's what he understood. And because of that, he followed the Lord. Friends, obedience is very central to our Christian life. There's nothing that will give us peace and joy in the Lord than obedience to his will. Even if we don't fully understand it. Even if we don't fully understand God's words and actions. Even if we face opposition. Even if others might not understand us. But we should know for sure that only obedience to God leads to eternal joy in God. And that's what we see in the life of Abraham. Trust and obey, for there is no another way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And here in our passage, we do not only see unconditional call and conditional obedience, lastly, we see unconditional trust. Then you see that in verses 5b up to the end, 9. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem to the oak of Moreh. At the time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I'll give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Abraham arrives in the land that the Lord was calling him into. He surveys the land. So he goes around surveying the land. Then God adds another promise to the five promises that he had already given him. And you see that in verse 7. To your offspring, I will give this land. That's an added promise there. And again, immediate fulfillment of that promise was Israel when they occupied Canaan. That was immediate fulfillment. But the ultimate fulfillment of that promise is in Christ and the church. The new heavens and the new earth. Blessed are those in Christ, for they shall inherit the earth. That's the ultimate fulfillment of this promise. That God is going to give the new heavens and the new earth to those who are in Christ. And Christ shall abide with them forever and ever. That's the fulfillment of this promise, the ultimate one. So the Lord promises him again this promise, and Abraham believes. But you notice there that as soon as he arrives and he receives the promise is already tested. The faith is already tested. Two things that we see here in our passage that will test the faith of Abraham. First, the Canaanites were there. The Lord says, well, I'll give you this land. They are the Canaanites there. So, Lord, what's going on? You're going to give me this land? What about these Canaanites? But the Lord is going to fulfill that promise. And then he says, well, this land is for your offspring. And we just read in Genesis 11, verse 30, Sarai was barren. She had no child. And you say, what are you going to give to my offspring? How? My wife can't have a child. What do you mean? Right away, the faith of Abraham is tested. But you notice his reaction is that one of trust in the Lord. What does he do? He builds an altar. That's a sign of worship. He builds an altar to the Lord, worshiping God. It was as if Abraham was saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust your promises. I'll begin to thank you and to worship you for these promises, even though you have not fulfilled them yet. That's a huge step of faith. And again, you notice in verse 8, he builds another altar as well, trusting in the Lord. Now, if I'm a stranger in a foreign land, I could avoid doing things that will attract attention to me, like building altars. But you notice that's what Abraham does. He's building altars, attracting the attention of the Canaanites who are there. Say, who is this guy? What is he doing? And he's worshiping the God that they don't know. But Abraham is so bold. He doesn't fear. He trusts the Lord who has brought him to this land. And he gives these orders to worship the Lord. Friends, God is calling us to trust him this morning. And always he calls us to trust in him. For some of you, it might be that the Lord is calling you to trust in his son, Jesus Christ, for your salvation. You do not know Christ. You have not placed your faith in Christ. The Lord is calling you this morning. Will you trust in my son, Jesus Christ, for your salvation? Will you leave all these things and trust in my son? Some of you, the Lord is calling you to do that this morning. For some, it might be that you are passing through some difficult and very challenging season right now. And the Lord is calling you to trust him that he will see you through. Are you going to trust him? Even though when you look at your situation, you see, there is no way that this situation will get better. There is no way out of this situation. No way. But the Lord is calling you to trust in him. Are you going to trust in him this morning? For some, the Lord might be calling you to do something for him. And you are wondering, will this work? And you are afraid to do his calling. It could be that some of you, your calling is very loud, even people can hear it. And God has used people to tell you the Lord is calling you to do this. We can even hear it. But maybe you're afraid or scared to step out. Will you trust the Lord this morning, like Abraham, to say, well, I'll step out, going without knowing. Better for me to walk in the dark with my hand in the hand of the Lord. Are you going to trust him this morning? Now, this hymn, Trust and Obey, the story behind is that an American evangelist, D.L. Moody, of 19th century, was preaching in one of the cities there. And before the actual meeting, people would gather and share testimonies about their salvation. And as they were gathering, a young man was sitting in there and listening to the testimonies of these people that the Lord had saved. And when it was his turn, he stood up and said, I'm not so sure, but I'm going to trust and obey. And the leader of the music team of D.L. Moody was touched by these words, so he sent these words, I'm not so sure, but I'll trust and obey, and send it to Reverend Sims, who composed the hymn, Trust and Obey. Sometimes we can feel like that young man. I'm not so sure. But the Lord who granted faith to Abraham is also calling you this morning to trust and obey. Trust him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through the life of our great father in the faith, Abraham. Thank you for how you worked in his life. May you work in our lives as his children as well, growing our love and faith and trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Gospel Call with Reverend Confix Makarira, a radio ministry of Christ Presbyterian Church. If you have any questions regarding what you have heard in this program, or you would like to hear more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, or attend our church, please contact us at The Gospel Call, P.O. Box 2153, Blantyre, or visit our website, www.christchurchmalawi.org. May the Holy Spirit continue to speak and apply God's word to your life.